It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 301, entitled 301 Segway. It was recorded on Monday, the 8th of July, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I will be joined by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Taco Verdonshot, by Alex Standiford, and by Rob Cairns. Because it's a WordPress podcast, well, you know what? We're going to talk a lot about WordPress. We start off talking about all of the new exciting things coming in WordPress 6.6, and there sure are a lot of them. We then move on to talk about custom fields and how you can create those in amazing ways in WordPress 6.6. The 2025 theme has just begun. You can contribute to that if you like. Major releases, minor releases. Aaron Jorbin talks to me on the WP Tavern podcast about that, and we talk about whether the WP Tavern podcast is dead or not. Hint, it's not. We then spend a massive amount of the time talking about Joost de Valk's CMS report, where he brings all the data about the growth, the decline, the fall of the different CMSs out there. We then get into conversations about some events that are coming up. So, for example, we talk about Stellar Sparks conference, which is online, as well as the .edu, WordPress in Higher Education conference, and a whole lot more as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello, how are you doing? That moment when you discover that you just swallowed a fly in your nice glass of water. That's kind of nice. And you cough your way.
3 seconds to live.
Cough your way through the last 2 minutes.
Hate from today's topic already.
Yeah, that's right. There's a fly in my water. It's This Week in WordPress, number 301. That means we had episode 300, puts us into a completely new centenary. So join us for the next 300. It'll only take us 2 years to get to 400. But I'm joined today by some fabulous guests. You can see them on the screen if you're joining us. First up, we've got Taco Verdonshot. I never know where to put the rise and the fall in your surname. Sometimes I want to say Verdonshot and sometimes Verdonshot. And you tell me which.
And then in Dutch, it would be Verdonshot.
I'm not doing that.
That's fine. That's why I shortened my last name everywhere.
Yeah. Taco Verdo. Okay, let me try it. Give me one more go. Go on.
Verdonshot.
Verdonshot.
Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, good enough. I feel I butchered the end, but there we go. Anyway, that's Taco. He's been on the show many times. He is, of course, representing Joost, as you can see. And he is, in fact, the head of relations at Joost, co-organizer of the WordPress meetup in Nijmegen, and generally strongly opinionated, so he says, combined with his typical typical Dutch bluntness that sometimes leads to interesting conversations. Basically, he keeps inviting himself back because he's hoping he'll say something stupid or strong enough to make WP Builds go viral. Thank you. I appreciate that. Outside of WordPress, you can find Taco with his family on the motor trials track or volunteering at a local charity. I'm honing in on the motor trials. What the heck? Tell me more.
So you know what a motorcycle looks like.
Uh-huh.
You take away everything you don't really need, which leaves you with an engine, a frame, two wheels, and a steer,
yeah,
and brakes. And you use that hyper-optimized vehicle to overcome obstacles. So, yeah.
And you do that voluntarily? It's not like there's any coercion there? You know?
No, it's a lot of fun. It's not about speed. So motocross and motor racing is all about speed. But motor trials is about control and balance.
Oh, that's so nice.
Neither of which I have, so it's good practice.
Even better. What fun. Oh, there you go. We learned something new about Taco today. But thank you for joining us, as always. He's kind of one of our regular co-hosts. So thank you for joining us again. We're also joined by, there he is, Rob Cairns. How are you, Rob?
Good. And you, Nathan?
Yeah, really, really good. Rob's joining us from Canada, and he is the chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. He's a WordPress security expert. We might touch on that a little bit later. He co-moderates the WordPress Global Community Group on LinkedIn, which is absolutely huge, by the way. I don't know what the membership count is now, but I'm going to guess it's into the 10,000s.
12,000.
12. Good grief, he said. And his latest hobby is flying drones. Okay, let's unpack that one as well. New? That's a new thing for you?
Really, in the last year, I wrote a drone license, because in Canada, if you want to fly your drone above a certain height, you have to write a license. And I'm into drones because I want to shoot photography from the air. So that's the reason for doing it. So the shots are amazing.
I totally love the idea of doing that. I've never bought one, but I love the idea of doing it. I remember Mark Westgard showing me some images that he took in Scotland, like flying over, you know, castles and glens and things like that. And it just seemed like a really nice thing to do. So great. I think you also need a license in the UK. Pretty sure you do.
I'm at an addiction problem. I own 5 of them and counting. So
okay.
I've got a head of a problem.
That's not a hobby. That's a habit.
Thanks.
It's a slight difference there. But thank you for joining us. And last, but by no means least, there he is. There is Alex Standiford. Hello, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, nice. You got a lovely rich microphone there. That's a really,
thank you,
a beautiful sound. Alex has got the shortest biography of anybody, really. Maybe he's going to add some more. Maybe he's into flying motorbikes or something like that. and his biography simply reads, Founder of Siren Affiliates.
Is that all it says? I updated it, I promise.
Oh, no. Okay. I will click the button. Wait. Here we go. Okay, let's see what it actually says. Yeah, it's way longer. Here we go. Right, let's do the real one. Alex is shaking.
There we go.
Ready. Here we go. Alex is shaking up affiliate programs with Siren Affiliates and host of the Partnership podcast. Very cool name, by the way. Partnership.
Thank you.
Get it? He's been on the show a few times talking about things ranging from his 4-year stint traveling full-time with his family in a camper to discussions about Mastodon and the open web. So, yeah, great. Thank you for updating that. And I apologize for not clicking refresh in my browser.
It is okay.
Yeah. Few bits of housekeeping just before we begin. The first thing to mention is that if you are joining us and you would like to in any way contribute, we would absolutely love that. The best, in fact, increasingly the only way to do that is to go here. Go to wpbuilds.com/live. Because LinkedIn, if you're watching it over there, their comments don't come through. If you're watching it over in a Facebook group, their comments, they blocked all of those in the last couple of months. So go to the website, you know, why not? It's on WordPress, wpbuilds.com/live. And you've got two options. If you're logged into a Google account, you can use the YouTube comments, which are at the side on a desktop, or click the little black button in the top right of the video. It's actually in the video and it says live chat or something like that. And if you do that, you don't need to be logged into anything at all. So go share it, wpbuilds.com/live. We are always joined by a bunch of people from all over the world, many of them telling us what the weather is like where they live. Let's see how it goes this morning, this afternoon, this evening. Cameron Jones, it must be the evening. He's joining us from Australia. I'm going to say Brisbane, but I have no idea where he might actually be, but that's where he is. He says, good evening. Tammy sees his good evening and raises it with a good morning. And Lawrence Ladomery, who's also in Australia, I'm guessing, He's gone, taken us back to the evening, and now Birgit's, she's just shot into the front with good afternoon, and seconded by Alan Fuller, who's also got a good afternoon. I should do this in, like it's a horse race or something. Alex, you're muted. I don't know if you're actually muted or if the platform has muted you.
I don't know.
No, you're there. What I would recommend, Alex, is just click refresh and I'll let you straight in. Sometimes we have these technical gremlins, so yeah, don't worry about it. And then we've got web-friendly guy says, waiter, there's a fly. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a fly in my soup. It was water, but yes, there's a fly in my water. Can we hear you, Alex?
Yep, should be able to.
Got you. Yeah, got you this time. Courtney's joining us saying good morning. We've also got James Giroux saying hello. This is lovely, isn't it? Checking all out.
Yeah.
And Marcus Burnett is saying hello, gentlemen, joining from 30,000. Oh, that's neat. What the heck? He's joining from 30,000 feet in the air on the way to WordCamp Canada. No way is that possible. That's it just is. Like, I know, but it's voodoo, isn't it? Every time you connect to the internet on a plane, it's like, no. This is made up.
and it makes me wonder if we can do a decent internet connection on a plane, that why do we have so many places on Earth where it's so bad?
Yeah.
Well, they're closer to the satellites. It's got to be better, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing it's prior to
they're
Starlink.
They're also fast.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if that connection, Marcus, is family approved, though.
amazing. Thank you, Marcus. I take my hat off to you. I can't. There's some headphones on the top, but metaphorically, my hat's coming off. Peter Ingersoll, who always drops in the weather. Here we go. Thank you, Peter. He says, hello, everyone. It's 25 degrees centigrade, 78 degrees Fahrenheit, and rising here in sunny Connecticut. This week's forecast. Hazy, hot, and humid. I actually thought that said lazy, hot, and humid first time around, and I thought that was kind of cool. Alan's back. He says, hi, Lauren. Says, Alex is on the show. I had to watch live. Oh, that's lovely.
Hey, Alan.
Let me see if there's anyone else saying something new. Courtney saying 13K. What? Oh!
Probably Rob.
The group. She's updating. She's updating the group. Yeah. And Lawrence is in Melbourne. Okay, so here we go. This is the skinny on the Air Canada internet. The internet speed on Air Canada isn't bad, really. Go to speedtest.net, Marcus, and tell us what it actually is. That would be kind of fun. Okay, like, so you can see what
the internet speed's not bad, but literally nobody else has a connection because he's eating all the bandwidth.
That's
on the
right. Yeah, he's watching a live show, and everybody else is grumbling. So that's what it's like. If you want to join in the comments, please feel free to do that. It makes the whole show a lot more fun and interesting. Because we're a WordPress-based podcast, we are going to drone on largely about WordPress. And let us begin right here. And this is our website. That is to say, wpbuilds.com. If you want to head over there, I would recommend that you fill out this form. It's one field. And if you do that, we will notify you a couple of times a week. Really, that's it. Just when new content has been created. And if you don't like them, you can always unsubscribe, but stick your name in that box and then click subscribe. I'd also like to point out that as for many weeks, the podcast has been sponsored by GoDaddy Pro, and real big thanks to them. But also fairly recently, probably about 8 weeks ago or something like that, we were joined by Bluehost, which is the sister, brother, uncle, aunt, I'm not sure, of Yoast, but there's a connection there. So that's nice. So thank you to them as well. And then joining us, starting off their sponsorship, was OmniSend, and that started last week. So go check them out. GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend. And if you encounter anybody and talk about that, tell them that you heard about them here on the WP Builds podcast, because, you know, they got to justify their spend, and hopefully it is worth their while. Right, moving on. So here's the first article. It's entirely white. No, it isn't. It's coming. And it's Kinsta. And Kinsta have put an article together, which I thought was quite nice to share. And it's all about what's coming in WordPress 6.6. We're not that far away, actually. Can anybody off the top of their head remember the date? But it's like 10 days away.
July 16.
Yeah. Okay. So we've got 8 days to wait before 6.6 drops. And I always think it's quite nice to share articles about what is coming up. And, you know, you can get used to things before you see them. Let's just discuss some of the numbers. A total of 299 core track tickets were included in 6.6, which includes 392 enhancements, 462 bug fixes, and 46 accessibility improvements inside the block editor. This article says that block pattern overrides, which we'll get to in a minute, is their favorite. And I have to say that I think I agree. We've also, this is super cool. Where's it gone? Sync pattern overrides. Now, this is hard to explain, but in the past, you had synced patterns and non-synced patterns. And if you had a synced pattern, wherever you updated it on one part of the website, all of the changes would be, you know, percolate out to the other places where that was used. Not so anymore. You're going to be able to drop in patterns where portions of that pattern are uneditable. So hence sort of partially synced. And you can do that with these sync pattern overrides. And I'll just read out what Kinsta say about it. It says sync pattern overrides are somewhere in between of the two extremes of sync block patterns and standard block patterns. Thanks to the Block Bindings API, you can now build block patterns that keep the same structure everywhere on your website and change in sync with the customizations made to the pattern structure and style in the editor. So this allows loads of customization for your clients, but you can bind certain things so that those pesky clients, you know, can't interfere with the things that you don't want to interfere. However, you can change the content of the patterns on an individual instance without affecting other instances of the same pattern on the site. I'll stop there, but there's more to say. I think that is super cool. Yeah. And anybody who thinks otherwise is crazy.
I was so excited whenever I saw this was coming, because if you're coming from a background in like Figma or using like Sketch or any of those tools, a lot of them have this concept of creating a component and then overriding certain parts of it everywhere. So my brain was already trained to do that, and not having access to that in the block editor was making it was actually a pretty big point of frustration for me personally. So I'm pretty excited to update all of my call to actions throughout my site so that they have the same copy and I can update them in one spot. And it's so useful. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, really, really useful. Anything from Rob on or Taco on that one before we move down the article?
Yeah, so I'm really curious what this will be like for novice WordPress users. Yeah. Because you now have... Before, you had something that was updated in one place and would update everywhere, but now it's half-half. And
yeah.
Are we going to make the UI clear enough so that someone who doesn't have a deep understanding of WordPress will be able to understand what exactly they've just edited?
Kind of an interesting thought. That hadn't really occurred to me, but you could have this mess of blocks all like partially sync blocks all over the place, and the client doesn't have the impression really of what they're doing. So the assumption is, oh, I edited it. So there's a surprise, yeah. And then they see it pop up somewhere else and they think, oh, I thought I'd edited that. I probably didn't click publish or something. So I'll go and edit it again. And then now we've got three copies. I wonder if there's going to be like a rollback. I wonder if there'll be like a reset to the original. So no matter where it inherited from, that'd be kind of interesting.
And it's not even just novices. It would even just be if it was transferred from one professional to another. If I was managing this site and I inherited it or something like that, like there's a whole structure that was probably created and designed that I need to be able to figure out quickly. That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob, anything on that, or should we press on through this?
No, we can press on, but I was going to say, Taco, that's a great point. I think where we're seeing a lot with WOX and FSE is that's where the novices are jumping into. I don't think, honestly, the novices are going to the traditional page builder and they're jumping in at the ground. And I think they're going to get confused with some of this personally, but that's interesting. Not to derail this conversation, but Marcus has just posted a speed test in the chat, by the way, of where Canda is in the air. So there you go, folks.
That's pretty good. To say, so just members of you that are listening, he's got 66 megabytes, I'm guessing down. It's not what he has at home, but it's good enough for watching live. Yeah, that's like 10x what you need to watch a live video.
Dude, my entire family was running on that when we were camping. Like, I'd be jumping for joy.
do you remember the days of dial-up when you used to get that noise that you used to make every time you got on with the internet? That was so fun. And then watching any image load, you just get that.
The slow.
Gosh, those are the days.
I should make my site, when it switches to the retro mode, load all pictures like that.
Oh, yeah, do that. That'd really be really fun,
actually.
That's a great idea.
That'd be super fun.
Yeah, I love that. And then Tammy Lister is joining us. People understand patterns way more than blocks. It's actually one of the least confusing areas. Yeah, that's a good point. I think what we were mentioning there, Tammy, I'm sure you know, is that I wonder if it'll get confusing if you've got like just multiple, you know, decoupled blocks that you kind of, patterns that you kind of assumed were locked together. But yeah, good point, Tammy. Thank you very much. Okay, let's press on. Let's move down. So this article, by the way, I should say, is on Kinsta's blog, kinsta.com/blog, WordPress-6-6. And it's called What's New in WordPress 6.6, Pattern Overrides, Block Bindings, API, Data Views, New Design Tools, and much more. Okay, the other thing that I saw after the code, which is not really suitable for this show. Really nice. This edit custom field values from connected blocks. So you know how it works at the moment. If you've got like, I don't know, ACF or some other confection of custom fields, you might even be using the WordPress way. Then you go into the block editor and there they are, all sort of buried at the bottom or somewhere like that, and you update them in there. Well, now you're going to be able to edit them just right in the block editor. So, you know, you'll see the, I don't know, let's say it's the price of a property or something like that on a real estate website. And if you want to amend it, you just click into the area where the price is, amend it, and it'll update wherever on your site that number is used. And brilliant, like totally brilliant, I think. And just apropos of that, Brian Cords did a video. It's an 11-minute video where he shows this in action. About half the video is him demoing it, and then the other half is like more code. So I think the first half is demo, the second half is like code. If I remember rightly, I watched it from start to finish. But that's on briancords.com, and it was on the 28th of June, 2024. It's called WordPress 6.6 is Changing the Game for Custom Fields. So I said that my most exciting bit was the synced patterns. Actually, I've changed my mind. Now it's this. I think this is super cool now that I think about it more. I mean, we're all using custom fields. I am imagining if you're shipping any sort of anything really these days, and this now enables your clients to do it inside, right where the numbers and the text and the images and everything else are. So that's kind of cool. Over to you guys if you want to say anything.
I just think it's really neat. Like Brian in that video was talking about how we probably won't even need the title section in the block editor anymore, because the title would just naturally be a part of the content as one of these custom fields where, and he actually shows it linked up and swapped over.
I can find the bit. Yeah, there you go. Somewhere around here, he types in the title into the block.
Yeah, and it updates it instantly. And I was like,
yeah, it updates. Really, let me see if I can get to it. I'm never going to find it, am I? There we go. Just sort of got the tail end of it there.
There it is.
He updated it inside the block and the actual title changed. So you can imagine a scenario where you don't need the title anymore because it's now in a block for this particular layer. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
Karen. No, it's okay. But yeah, that was basically it. But like on my personal site, I've got different post formats. Like, you know, I post tweets and videos and different things. And I think that this, whenever you talk about interesting different post formats like that, they may or may not even have a title. It's just really cool to me to think that like the editor is just getting with this, it's going to get just that much closer to creating that one-to-one relationship it's been trying so hard to make. It's just really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really cool. Taco, Rob, anything on that? Or I shall press on further into the article.
I can't wait to see how this is going to be used to create even more awesome things.
Yeah. I think it'll be a little, there'll be a bit of a moment, won't there? A bit of an aha moment. Probably a bit of a, where the heck has my stuff gone? Or something like that.
Like another example real quick, sorry. I have a plugin in the WordPress repository where like every time something like this comes out, the first thing I do is create a plugin with a beer custom post type because it has a whole bunch of different custom fields and stuff like that. And like the last iteration of this, all of that data, the SRM, the color, like the, you know, ABV and all those different values were all in the sidebar because it's the only place for it. And I'm just excited to see this because it's also going to probably clear out that sidebar a lot. A ton of stuff that's just kind of shoved off to the side because it doesn't have anywhere to go in the actual content. No. It's probably actually going to show up in the content. So this is like, I'm actually really excited about the fact that it's just going to clean up that sidebar a little bit too, just because a lot of that stuff is now moved into the actual editor itself.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. So you're saying, oh, I don't know, whatever the custom field may be, the bits and the pieces of that, which might have been in a sidebar,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sliders and the toggles and the numbers that you type in for this, that, and the other thing, that's all going to now be handled in the UI. So freeing up space, it'll empty it out, basically. Yeah, that's a really good point as well.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Okay, so that was editing custom values. Honestly, go and watch Brian's video if you haven't checked out 6.6, the beta version, because it is pretty profound, and you will get an understanding of, you know, meta boxes are just probably not going to be of all that much interest in the future. Again, more code from Kinster explaining how to do it. And then we get this, the thing that we've been praying for ages, you know, the beginnings of a different admin UI. And in this case, the data views enhancements. And so by data views, it might be, oh, I don't know, the template parts, where you view all your template parts, or where you view all your posts or pages. And this is going to be profound, actually. This is going to make a real big difference to the way that you interact with your WordPress website. So this is definitely worth checking out in advance if you can, because you're going to get 6.6 and be like, what? Where's the stuff? Where's WordPress since like 3.3 or whatever it was? So here, look at this perfect example. There's your pages with this ability to click on a page and instantly see the page in question. So you don't have to click, right click, open page in new tab, edit page in new tab, you know, just in case you got the wrong one, and all of that kind of stuff. You just click. That's, I mean, it's a sort of nothing, but at the same time, it's a dramatic change. Loving it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a slurp of water.
Watch for the flies.
Ah, yeah, I think I've cleaned them out. So that's kind of interesting. So it says here, for pages, a new panel provides a list of pages and allows a preview of any page with a single click. What else have we got? You'll also be able
I
to see...
That- Tammy's comment here is super relevant, though.
Sorry, where are we? This one?
The one, well, also, but...
Okay, this one.
The latter one, yeah.
Okay.
Because this might also scare people, like...
Chicken Little, yeah.
Yeah. All the old stuff will still be there.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you.
Taco, I have to throw out, though, because we're leaving the old stuff in there, are we causing ourselves problems down the road because we're insisting on making everything backward compatible again? And, you know, it's always this, and Alex is smiling at me because he knows where I'm going. It's always this balancing act, right? Is backward compatibility good, or are we impeding progress and enhancements by doing that? So I think we got to be really careful that we find that hard line. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of...
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And part of the answer is look at the four most installed plugins.
Yeah.
The classic editor is one of the four. And that says a lot. A lot of... there's a lot of WordPress sites existing that can't just update every time that we release something new. Because they've existed for ages, there's whatever. So I do think that the backwards compatibility is extremely important. And I almost feel like we should be dragging Tammy into our conversation here.
Yeah, me too.
She's adding in so many valid points.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and she's just added, so in answer to the, are we creating this, I don't know, cognitive dissonance for the future? And problems of backwards compatibility, she says, no, we aren't, because at some point we can remove all the training wheels. Can I ask you a question, Taco? I don't actually know if you've got the answer. Is there any, or maybe even Alex, because you're both plugin devs, is there any way to sort of A-B test your plugin so that changes that you make in the UI get seen by a proportion of people and you can get, I mean, obviously then there's like phoning home and all that kind of weirdness, so I'm guessing you can't. But it would be kind of nice to be able to roll out this to a few people. You know, that's the kind of stuff Squarespace can do because of its SaaS-based nature. But I was just curious as to whether you run experiments like that at Yoast, or whether you, I don't know, have beta testers that fiddle with all that kind of stuff for you and then give you feedback about whether it's going to be, you know, worth actually rolling it into the core product.
Alex, go ahead.
Okay. did I look like I was going to explode? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's funny. I mean, I think it just needs to be opt-in, really. You just, you know, you give people the opportunity to beta test or test out new UIs early, and they will take, some of them will take you up on it, and
yeah,
some of them won't.
Yeah. Good point. Okay, Taco, anything to add, or should we?
Yeah, so is it possible to A-B test to a certain extent? Yes.
Nice. Yes. Okay.
And that's where my development knowledge ends.
Yeah. More people. It can be done, but how it's done and when it's done is
no clue.
Anybody's guess. Don't just ask me. We're back to the planes very quickly. Marcus's plane. Cameron says that's as fast as the, or almost as fast as the Australian internet. So that's crazy. That's fascinating. Okay. So here we go. Tammy's back. This has been opt-in for a while in the Gutenberg plugin. Yeah, of course, we should mention that. If you want to keep up with the bleeding edge of anything going on in WordPress, go and download the Gutenberg plugin, which gets all of the different bits and pieces. You can test it on whatever local site or development site you've got there. So, yeah, go and check that out. Right, okay, let me see if I can finish up this article. And there's a new publishing workflow, and it says, with this iteration, the unification process between the post and site editor makes a step forward, but with both editors that now have the same publishing workflow. And yeah, I think that was basically it. Oh no, one more. Starting with WordPress 6.6, the block inserter shows two groups of blocks, blocks that you can add to a selected block and blocks that you can add below the selected block. So you can kind of see that. Helpful. There we go. So you get some sort of impression of what's going on there.
That's good news. That's perspective when you're designing.
I have a bad habit of, like, a lot of the stuff I make for my sites is I'll design a block that's literally just a block that is just a container for specific other ones. And I'll forget which ones have which ones sometimes. So that's actually really helpful.
Yeah, nice. So, and then also here, block patterns in classic themes. Starting with WordPress 6.6, classic theme support, easy for you to say, Nathan, supports the same pattern interface as block themes. So if you use a classic themes on your WordPress website, and I'm sure a lot of people still do, you will enjoy the same rich experience in pattern management as block themes. So that's kind of nice, bringing everybody into the same arena. Makes sense, right? So that was Kinster's take on 6.6. As Taco said, it's coming down the pike in about, what did we say, eight days time. Yeah, yep, not long.
That's a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah, isn't it?
Really exciting. Really exciting. There's a lot of good stuff there.
I think sometimes the reason that we get excited about this is because it's a lot of UI and you can see it. You can actually see the change that you're going to receive. Whereas often with WordPress, and we'll get onto that in a minute, you know, if it's like a security update, it's kind of, because you don't see it, you know, it's going on in the background and we love the visuals. So, it is a brilliant, brilliant update and pushing the whole project forward. As mentioned, go and check out Brian Cord's video about the custom fields bit.
There's one more thing that I think is coming in the 6.6 that wasn't mentioned here that I'm really excited about, actually.
Go.
They're adding a shortcut key to group blocks. So if you do like Control G or Command G or something like that, it'll take those blocks and group them together. I'm coming from Figma and like design tools in the past. And I just, every time I've been using the editor a lot over the last several months building Siren site, like, I just kept on selecting multiple ones and hitting Control G, expecting it to just group them together. And so I actually got on GitHub and I was like, can we do this? Is this something we can consider? And somebody was like, oh yeah, this is duplicate. It's coming in 6.6.
Yes. Hey, nice. Didn't even have to do the work. And Cameron, classic theme for the bot. Willis Wadowick. If you watch Monty Python films, you'll get the joke. It wasn't actually that funny, but it was intended to be a joke. Okay, and Tammy, probably the final one on that, at least anyway. So it means that that they can use the pattern library too. So that's people with a classic theme, I guess, Tammy is mentioning there. So yeah, really nice. So there we go, WordPress 6.6. And just in case you were interested, there was an article which was on the Full Stack Digital website. By the way, anything that we mentioned today will be in the show notes that we put out tomorrow Like I said at the top of the show, if you subscribe, you'll get the show notes into your email. You get all the links and whatnot. And this is just how you can do the same sort of thing, custom post type with structured metafields in WordPress without plugins like ACF. So it was kind of, we can't really talk about it because it's a code-based article, as you can see as I'm scrolling through. But it was just an interesting tutorial on how you can set up your own custom fields and all that without needing a plugin like ACF. And then here we go. Where are we? More or less exactly halfway through the year 2024. And here it is, the repo for the 2025 theme. And, you know, it's the usual stuff. Lots of people helping would make the theme a lot better. Link in the show notes, but it's basically github.com/WordPress, as it always is, / you guessed it, 2025. All as one word. And the bit that struck me, I thought, I mean, not really that revolutionary, but kind of interesting. 2025 is a block theme, as you might expect. The theme aims to ship with here's the declaration, as little CSS as possible. Our goal is for all theme styles to be configured through theme.json and editable through global styles. So pushing the sort of default theme shipping with a new version of WordPress so that everything's done through theme JSON. So if you're not into that whole thing, maybe now is the time to get into it. It says current status, as of July 1st, 2024, the theme is in the planning stages and the ideas are being collected. There is no design to implement yet, but if you'd like to contribute code, the list of open issues is a great place to start looking. So you know how it works in WordPress. If you don't contribute, you don't get to have your say. So there you go, github.com/WordPress/2025. Anybody want anything to that?
Again, we have Tammy in the comments adding valuable information.
She's the best.
There will be a post out today asking for input on 2025.
Perfect. Nice. So I put together these show notes on Friday. No, I didn't. I did it on Saturday this week. I was a naughty boy and missed it on Friday. And and so I missed it. So anyway, that's great. Thank you, Tammy. I'm sure we'll be able to add that into next week's show. And Patricia is joining us. She's catching up the first 30 minutes at speed 1.5. who knows what that'll be like.
Yeah, good luck catching up with Marcus in full flight.
Yeah, that's right. that's great. Okay, so 2025, there it is. Right, just to say all about releases and what have you, I did a podcast episode on the WP Tavern website. By the way, the WP Tavern is not dead.
I was wondering. Go ahead, please.
It's not dead. It's not been dead ever. Not really. Well, it has kind of, let's be honest. unless you're into listening to podcasts, in which case it's been just trucking every week, more or less, except Christmas. And I don't know, maybe when I had COVID or something like that. But we're on episode number 126. And this was quite exciting. This happened just the other day. If you go to wptavern.com, now it's there. It's on the homepage. So it's totally not dead. The most recent podcast ends up on the homepage, which is kind of nice. And I did actually notice that, if you can't look, this is now wptavern.com, which is kind of interesting.
So it's basically WP podcasts.
Yep. Loving it. Let's be fair. The WP Tavern at the moment is a podcast, but we all want the writers back, don't we? We want people of the caliber of Sarah Gooding, Justin Tadlock, and anybody else who's written, you know, one or two pieces. We want it back. We want it desperately. And actually, curiously, I don't know who started it. It may have been Remkes, or at least Remkes de Vries was in that Twitter thread asking, mm-hmm. can we assume that it's dead now? And Matt Mullenweg, who has the levers, I guess is the right word, to bring it back to life. I think he started with the word sorry or something
apologetic.
Like that. Yeah, it was an apology, basically saying I am exceedingly busy, as you can imagine, and that's the reason. So anyway, hopefully,
I felt for Matt whenever I saw that message, actually, because I get a little, I don't know, maybe it's just something, but like I get triggered whenever I see somebody asking if a project is dead, like especially with open source things or contribution based things, because it's like, you know, I mean, this isn't a great example of that, but I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, I hate it when people ask that question in that frame. Like, it just makes it sound so much worse than it is usually. Because, like, I have a like any kind of open source thing I've ever worked on, where if I don't work on it for like 6 months or something like that, it doesn't necessarily mean it's dead. It just means I haven't been working on it in that moment. But
yeah.
But I digress.
It's fine. This is I hope with all my heart that it comes back. Because for me, I know that there's a load of other publications out there, and this is in no way, shape, or form denigrating what they do. But for me, it genuinely did represent, like, I think the thing in the strapline of the website is something like the newspaper of record, or something like that. You know, it really great. So anyway, the podcast has been alive. So go to wptavern.com, and this is what I wanted to feature. It was Aaron Jorbin speaking of updates to WordPress. And he was talking to me about minor releases versus major releases. And we do tend to obsess about the major ones, like 6.6, because they're, you know, all these new features, some of it visual, some of it exciting, new buttons to click, new menu items, new stuff. But don't forget the minor releases, because often it's the minor releases which basically keep your website ticking. You know, there's a CVE, there's a security vulnerability somewhere out on the internet. The minor release comes along, it all happens in the background automatically. And this whole podcast episode was, how does that happen? Who makes those decisions? How many people contribute to that? And the terror of Aaron having the capacity to click the button, knowing that millions and millions of websites are going to automatically update. And that kind of moment of, But there's 50 core contributors roughly at the moment. There have been 100 at various times, apparently. But it's a really interesting podcast, genuinely worth a listen. So anybody got anything about that? If not, we'll move on.
Well, Can I jump in?
Rob,
go ahead, Rob.
So I'm going to jump in on this. Minor releases for me in my business are probably even more important than major releases, because I'm a security guy. So the way I look at these is, a lot of people, when a major release, like to hold off for a couple of days. And what they want to see is stupid people like me update 300 websites and what I blow up in the world. And then they say, oh, if Rob can do it, we'll do it. Or other people at big websites that they're managing. What I would suggest is, minor releases are even more important, because the time from a vulnerability coming out to the time of exploit we're seeing is dropping by the day. It used to be months, then it was weeks. We're now into hours and days. So from my perspective, the minor ones are probably even more important. And the only caveat I say, folks, is if you're going to update WordPress, please do a backup first. Take the 5 minutes and do one and save us all the aggravation, because I've looked at way too many sites recently where somebody didn't do a backup, something conflicted, something blew up, and then, you know, then you're into hours of fun instead of minutes of fun. So, but minors should be done sooner than later, in my opinion.
Yeah, and of course, with the minors, you've got the option to just accept what's coming automatically. You know, you wake up in the morning and there's that slew of emails. Your website has been updated to 6.5.1 or whatever it might be. But yeah, really interesting podcast, and just fascinating getting the inside track on how those decisions are made and who gets to make them and what the priority is and how quickly those decisions sometimes have to be made and all of that kind of stuff. So
I do think, though, that the minor releases happen in this small group, the small community.
Yeah.
But the major releases, and as we talked about before, there's one coming next week. Yep. If you've never attended a release party live,
go.
You should. Because it's absolutely magic to see people from competing companies all across the world in all the time zones come together to make the release of a major WordPress version a success. Yep. You'll have a lot of people joining in, testing stuff. There's someone who's driving the entire script, which is just, it's open. You can follow exactly which step they're at and what's coming up next and all of that. But it has some magic to it to see all those people come together and do that major release.
Isn't that a nice thing? The that whole competitors doing things together. I mean, that's a pretty rare thing. And I never quite know what the thing is in WordPress that makes it so intriguing to me, that got me intrigued. But there's definitely some of that in it. That whole, here we are, we're at a WordCamp. You're a hosting company. You're also a hosting company. But now it's 5 o'clock. Let's all go have a drink together and just be friends. It's, you know, it's not like, right, we're all going back to our hotels and we're going to, you know, never speak to them. It's just absolutely fascinating. And you're right. Those launch parties are pretty cool and definitely worth attending. Anything on that, Alex, before we move on?
You know, the only thing I have to say is that usually the minor releases for me are always the not even just the security things. It's oftentimes positioning the site so that it can be ready for a major release. So like there will be times where I've done minor releases just to set up the database so that whenever a major release comes out, it happens as smooth as possible. I always think about minor releases as kind of like moving chess pieces. Like you're just kind of positioning yourself so that whenever the next major feature release comes out, it's ready to go and it's smooth. Yeah. And especially with plugins that we have now that are starting, they're getting older, they're aging, you know, and there's a lot of backwards compatibility concerns and there's a lot of migration concerns and updates and things just to make all that stuff work. So yeah, I mean, I agree with the sentiment for sure. There's a lot, all the work happens, so much work happens in those minors just to make sure the major is in a position to actually be successful in the first place.
Trigger warning, if you don't like talking about death, then, you know, switch off now because Cameron Jones says it's on life support. We're talking about The Tavern. And it's not dead yet, says Courtney Robertson. It's not dead. It's just sleeping. That's a nice way of looking at it, says Friendly Web Guy. I can't remember who Friendly Web Guy is, but I want to know because I think I know and I've forgotten. So apologies to you. I do apologize. And Marcus, here we go. Marcus says a few limbs have been amputated, but it's still barely alive. And Alan's reiterating that it's resting. It's every week, Wednesday.
Well, and on that, the fact that it is leaving a gap is also obvious because as recent as this morning, there was a discussion in post status whether one of the sort of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go on. Get into this. Go on. This is interesting. Yeah, please.
Yeah. Would sort of take over or, you know, add to fill that gap. Mm-hmm. And that's a news out. Can I mention...
I know, Ray.
Yeah, it's Ray.
So the repository is probably the most read newsletter by now in WordPress. And, well, Ray was suggesting maybe I should start filling that gap on the repository's website by writing more on what's happening in WordPress. So it's definitely the current status of WP Tavern is leaving a gap.
If you've not subscribed, go and I honestly, off the top of my head, I can't remember the URL, but go and go and just Google the repository, email, WordPress, something like that, and go and subscribe to it. Ray is Ray has a background in like actual real journalism. Yeah. And then brings actual real journalism into a newsletter. And it is just, it's just every week relentlessly worth reading. And it's probably, I don't know, a couple of, maybe 2,000-3,000 words. You can do it in 10 minutes from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. But it's got all the stuff.
And the repository.email, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, the repository.email. Perfect. What about that? The repository.email. And she's got all the stories and she talks to all the people and she links to all the tweets and it's just brilliant. And so the idea of Ray kind of interjecting into that, let's see what happens. Maybe she's got some legs with that. But anyway, Tavern's not dead. I can say it again. And it's Dave Gray, friendly web guy. Of course it is. It's Dave Gray from the UK, the king of bad or good dad jokes. And Patricia says, plus one to what Taco said about the Release Party core channel. Go and check that out. Yep. Get yourself involved. There are other news channels as well. Yeah. That, yes, you're right to point that out, Lawrence. Yeah. There's not just the repositories. A whole bunch of newsletters. I think we were just mentioning that because of the fact that it was just timely that that had happened in post status.
This the WP morning. Minute comes to mind.
WP Minute. There you go. Yeah. And Lawrence says, Remkes, I think there's an opportunity. Yeah. Remkes, of course, yeah, he's got his...
Remkes, yeah.
What's his called? I've totally blanked. It is... I get it and read it every Friday.
I'm going to let you suffer on this.
Thank you.
He's going to appreciate it.
It's in my inbox.
Within WordPress, Nate.
Within, does it? Of course, it's, of course. And I'll prove that I read it, because every week you scroll to the bottom, there's two boxes side by side. One's blue, one's white. There you go.
Exactly.
To the bottom, every week. Lawrence says, I think there's an opportunity to rethink and reposition the tavern.
I agree. So
bring it back, but with different kind of, a different way of doing it. All right. Okay, now
is Lawrence now suggesting to remove the podcasts?
I have no words. Not Lawrence, the betrayal. the utter betrayal. No. Of course. Of course, there's Devinder's WP Weekly as well.
Yeah.
We're lucky, aren't we? We are in a space full of different quirky newsletters and things like that. You can really keep up to date. And many of them kind of use the same stories, you know, because there's only so much going on in WordPress. But depending on how you want to dip into that, you know, whether you just want links. Oh, there's another one called WP Mail, which comes out on a weekly basis. You know, whether you just want links or you want editorial like Ray provides, then, you know, there's so much to, within WordPress. Yeah, there we go. No comment. What? No, you're supposed to ride in on a horse like a knight in shining armor and defend the podcast, Lawrence. There's I'm only joking. Remkes now needs to rebrand his newsletter to weekly. Oh, that's great. Oh dear. Well, there we go. Okay, so that was actually supposed to be not about the tavern. It was supposed to be about this podcast with Aaron Jorban about minor and major releases, but we got hijacked a little bit, which was fun. So let's move on to the next bit. So now we're going to be talking about Yoast, but not Yoast the company, Yoast the person. So you, I'm sure if you're an avid WordPresser, you'll probably know that Yoast de Volk was one of the person that founded, I guess is the right word, the company Yoast. I don't know if there's any connection there now, but ostensibly there's no connection. Is that true?
Well, we're still good friends.
Good mates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But every year he releases a CMS market share report. And I just want to point out that this year was a little bit different because there's quite a few bits and pieces attached as ancillary posts. So we'll actually look at this market share report in a minute because it's so interesting. But there's also these two things to look at, and they are linked in the post that we're going to look at. There's one called the CMS market share commentary. And so in previous years, when we were looking at the market share report, Yoast would, you know, start to make comments and things like that. And he's decided to strip that out and put it into a different article. But also, he's got an article about how he's gathering the data, and he's called that CMS market share measured right, and what he's tweaked and changed over the years. And I'm guessing that if you're wrangling this kind of data, there's no perfect mechanism for knowing absolutely everything, but it's a work in progress. So you've got an update. All of it happened on the 2nd of July. All these three articles went out at the same time, and we can dig into those, but let's start here. So first of all, totally credible, right? Whether or not Yoast is 100% confident in his data, I've been reading this for years, and I just take it on face value, and I'm happy to do that. So here we go. Let's look at some of these pie charts because they're the most exciting bits. Most popular CMSs. Now, you'd imagine this blue would be WordPress, right? Because we all know it's the big one, and it's gone up to, like, I don't know, 58% or something. No, this is unrecognized. The little pink one is, in fact, WordPress. So this is all the stuff that the bots that are crawling it for Yoast, or the companies that Yoast takes the data from, they don't know who that is. But let's just ignore them for a bit, shall we? Let's just imagine they don't exist. And Taco showed me that if you want to just click on something, like if you want to, I don't know, take WordPress out of the equation and put WordPress back into the equation. Oh, let's do that a lot because that looks great. Oh, that's really good. So let's take unrecognized out of the equation. And now we see what the picture that we're normally looking at. So there we go. That's what we're looking at the moment. 35.47%. Now, I'm used to saying 43%. That seems to be the figure that is on everybody's lips. And so this is part of Yoast's new metrics. He's gone from one data provider to another, thrown things around a little bit, and he's now got this figure of 35.47%. I'm not gonna worry too much about that. It's still, honestly, if you bought a pizza into my house and said, Nathan, you have the pink bit, I'd be totally chuffed to bits with that. That looks pretty good to me, right? But let's take WordPress out of the equation. And now we see some interesting stuff. So this is Shopify. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Nearly got a full quarter. If you take unrecognized and WordPress out of the equation, there's Wix. You can imagine what's coming next. There's Squarespace, Joomla, Drupal, PrestaShop. And then we get into these slices that really you can't even hold in your fingers because they're just too floppy. but I just think, that's right. I just think that's fabulous. Makes me feel happy, sort of glowing on the inside. Very nice indeed. Anybody want to comment on that before we scroll on and look at some more fun charts?
Well, it's interesting, and that's also what Yoast is writing in his commentary article, is the Tistory one, which is there in the second or third green, is a name that I hadn't heard of before.
Yeah, this one here, this Tistory one, which you can see it coming and going there. It's not big, but it's like, yeah, who'd heard of that? Not him, not me.
Nope. But it is not, so it's halfway the rest of them, basically.
Yeah.
The top 20. So it's reasonably sized, let's put it that way.
Well, if I just make the graphic go, that's Webflow coming and going. That's Tistory coming and going. They're not that far off each other, right? They're about the same. This unknown. So there's some interesting data. There's bound to be a bunch of CMSs out there. Well, I guess this unrecognized kind of fills the void in most cases.
Yeah.
What I like to do with this graph is this. Just go across, right? And you just get rid of all the others like that. And then that, I like that chart a lot. That's the CMS used by WordPress chart.
I'm very happy that WordPress isn't the entire chart.
No, that's right. Yeah. Where would we get the innovation? Where would we get the news? Where would we get the, you know, the stuff going on? But let me put it back. Let's go back to where we were. So I think that's probably the most influential one. Okay, so here we go. This is an interesting one. This is a graph showing time versus percentage or market share on the left-hand side. And I can't quite remember what would have caused this like drop here. Was there some sort of like data broker that went out of business or something?
Well, must be. That must be something measuring differently for a while.
Yeah, because if you notice, it's the same for all of them. If you actually just take WordPress out of the equation, look, they've all got this quirky bit around the same point. Anyway, so as you'd imagine, this is the WordPress line, and you can see that really since about 2022, it's kind of more or less a flat line. It goes up a little bit, it goes down a little bit. But it is more or less a flat line. Again, this was Taco's idea. Just get rid of WordPress just for a bit of fun. And look at that. These are the CMSs really like jockeying for position. Every line at some point gets crossed by every other line. So we have Drupal.
Seeing the growth in some of them is insane. Or the decline.
So let's make Shopify come and go. So, okay, Shopify's this one here, this yellow one. And you can see, I mean, it's just a precipitous, I mean, you have tiny little blips when it goes down, but it's more or less rise, 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 down, rise, 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 down, rise, rise, you know, it's like five rises, one down. And it's now up to, well, as we saw, it seems to be, you know, second only to WordPress. I mean, the difference is still pretty dramatic. After that, Wix, again, just rise. Not quite as fast as Shopify. I don't know what's going on here, but there seems to have been a drop lately. Squarespace, same thing. Joomla kind of seems to be a downward trend for Joomla. And then, you know, there's Tistory. nothing. And then it's
set. We're here.
Boom. There we are. Yeah. We're in the data set. Finally.
And then Cameron commented that Tistory is the Korean equivalent of Blogger.
It's a Korean thing. That's fantastic. That's really cool. So that's, you know, I don't know what to say. I mean, it doesn't make me feel anything other than positive. It still seems to be sort of going in the right direction. I guess the other thing to say is every percentage point for WordPress now is just so difficult to get. Whereas I'm guessing for these other ones, there's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit more straightforward. Anybody on that one?
I just think it's interesting because this is, I think I've been thinking a lot about just the fact that there's a lot of websites that don't even necessarily, like there's a lot of companies that don't even necessarily need a website as much as they used to, like where they're not even necessarily using a CMS at all, or they're even using a web, like an actual site. Like I've seen so many over the last several years that just redirect to a specific like Google listing or a social listing. And of course they should have something on their site probably and be selling something, but it's just interesting to me. I wonder how much social in general contributes to the difficulty of the growth of some of these, some of the measurements here, where it's like, you know, not everybody's taking something necessarily at all.
Yeah, Lawrence is, sorry, Alex, it completely
obliterates okay.
your face. This you have to go right up to the top of the screen. It says, Noel Tok showed an interesting graph at WordCamp Asia. I think it was, you're right, where he laid a graph relating to the rate of adoption on the market share one. And I think the I think there was quite a few bits and pieces that got drawn out of that by Jamie Marsland about the marketing budgets of certain companies like Wix. When I talked to Jamie, I think he said there were 400 full-time personnel on Wix just on the marketing team.
Yeah.
And, you know, how does an open source project compete with that? Well, pretty well, it turns out. But
for now.
Yeah, okay, good point, right? Can we be sanguine? Can we? Yeah, that is a good point. Okay, let's move. Was there anything else here? Well, I mean,
what I'd like to see, Nathan, is I'd like them to take Yoast to take the WordPress stuff and break WooCommerce out of that and show that on a graph in comparison to Shopify. I'd like to see where that sits, because I think it's closer than people think. And we keep talking in the WordPress space about not having a Woo competitor. Well, there is one, Shopify, whether you want to admit that or not. So
this is as close as I think we're going to get for that data. So what we're showing on the screen here is this is basically any kind of website where there's e-commerce functionality. And you would have, again, you probably would have been forgiven for thinking that this blue one might have been something like WooCommerce or something, but it's not. It's not e-commerce, which of course makes perfect sense. Most websites probably don't have e-commerce. So let's just obliterate that one and start looking at it. And now we have this curious pink one, which they're just calling cart functionality. So that's there's a trace of a cart somewhere, but we don't know what that is. We can't ascribe it to WooCommerce or Shopify, but there's some little PHP script bought off CodeCanyon or something like that. Who knows? And then let's take that out again, and then we get what I think is probably the picture that we're most interested in, which is WooCommerce, Shopify, Squarespace, Wix, PrestaShop, and everything else all the way down. And you can see this one here is the WooCommerce. And again, just going gangbusters. Wow. Anything on that?
I wonder how much of that cart functionality is just people connecting directly to Stripe's API or something like that.
Okay.
Instead of actually like creating subscription models directly through that.
Oh, so if we put that one back in, somebody's just dropped a, I don't know, like a Stripe button or Stripe cart page on there. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it could be, couldn't it?
Yeah. That's the idea. It has something that resembles a web shop, but isn't identifiable which one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just dealing with Patricia's comment here, back to the previous comment about Wix and marketing and all that. Patricia says Wix partners with young influencers. Yeah, it's kind of their strategy, right? Is get the young cool kids on there who've got big YouTube followings and you know, just make it happen. Fascinating.
I just shared a link in the private chat, Nathan.
Yep.
It was a talk by a former colleague of mine who is still very young, even though this talk was 2 years ago. And he basically asked a full room at WordCamp Europe, have you heard of Mr. Beast?
Oh, gosh, no. No, that's... Oh, boy.
And he said, if you haven't, you're old.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but that works into... But it, that's bi-directional because I have heard of Mr. Beast and I'm old.
Fair. I do think that you do have kids in the right age to learn about.
Yeah, it's crazy. He's like... But, yeah. He has a following of like a major, like a huge nation, you know, like a...
Yeah.
Crazy.
He recently tweeted, and it's a little sidestep, but he recently tweeted, if we lower the minimum age to run for president in the US, I think I could win.
Oh, no.
And he's probably right.
He is probably right.
Oh, that, yeah, that we live in that generation, don't we? Patricia says she always talks about Tycho's talk, so the one that Taco just shared. I should say it's called Tomorrow's Generation's Perspectives on WordPress, and it was at WordCamp Europe in Athens 2023. So you can go and check that. It was a short one, 10 minutes, little lightning talk, so you can go and check that out. And Patricia, she knows Mr. Beast as well. You're like me! Or are you? I'm not implying anything. Maybe you're like, I'm gonna stop digging that hole right away.
She's like, correct.
Yeah, that's not safe. Okay, so back to here. Most popular CMSs over time. And again, what can we say about this? WordPress just was, nobody used it for the month of September in 2021. It just completely went to nothing. But there you go. Just precipitous rise for WordPress over time. In second place, Shopify, Squarespace, Wix, and so on. But do look, just look at the trend in Wix there. It is, that is a very steady, nice graph.
Yeah, if you scroll down a little bit, you have the percentages. And that's where Wix is impressive.
Look at that. So WooCommerce is, so again, we're talking about e-commerce specifically. WooCommerce, market share, it says here 6.98 with a rise of 5.60 off on that 6.98. And where's it gone? Wix, here we go, has a much smaller market share, 1.37. But the market share, the growth rate is nearly 27%, which is amazing. And then you've got 1C Bitrix, growth rate of 70%, but starting out at, you know, somewhere in the region of less than half of 1%. So
yeah,
interesting. And here we go. This is fascinating. WordPress page builders is what we're looking at now. And let's take away no page builder. I guess no page builder, what even is that? Is that Gutenberg these days, basically? Or is that people just got some kind of theme that they bought? So who knows?
Anything not recognizable as one of the other page builders.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Take that away.
Beaver Builder is missing from this list, for example, and I know it will be added in the August data.
Great. Thank you. But you can see the king still on that chart is Elementor, followed by WP Bakery, Divi, Site Origin, GoDaddy, CoBlocks, Oxygen, and then things like Generate Blocks. So some of the block suites cropping in as page builders, like Stackable, Generate Blocks, CoBlocks. What else have we got? Yeah, that's... Oh, and then Bricks is
there. Bricks on there?
Yeah, it's very small at the moment. But I guess I'm thinking that the way that people keep talking about it on social media, I'm imagining that if this chart is done in 12 months' time, that might have found its way a little bit higher up the list because it just seemed to be the poster child of page builders at the moment. And there it is, page build. Look at that. Look at that. Honestly, you could put a ruler on that element.
Yeah, no kidding.
Isn't that incredible? It's relentlessly popular. I kind of had an intuition that it was less popular now than it was, just because it seems to have, I don't know, it's not quite as hot, for want of a better word. But no, according to this data, I am totally wrong. WP
I'm just
Baker.
Surprised by how smooth it is. It's not like it's not like a exponential growth. It's just literally just a perfectly linear. Like I could tell you what their growth is going to be like in 3 years. You know
what
I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. According to this, that will be easy to predict.
Yeah.
So the yellow line is WP Bakery, followed by Divi. And I think it's fair to say that in this chart, at least WP Bakery seems to be declining. Divi is kind of flatlining. And then you've got all the other ones which are so close to the bottom you can't see. But let's take out Elementor. Let's take out WP Bakery. Let's take out Divi, see what that looks like. So Site Origin out. Actually, mostly in most cases, it's a rise, isn't it? These little block suites like Generate Blocks. Here we go. Let's have a look. Elementor up 23.3%. WP Bakery down 7%.
And given their size. I mean, that's the bizarre thing. They're already leading and they're still growing by, well, deep, deep double digits.
Yeah, yeah, quite right. Yeah. And then you get some curious big numbers like Generate Blocks. Obviously, you know, it's a tiny fraction of the Elementor install base, but something must be happening over there. There's something in the water. People are talking about Generate Blocks, it would seem, because that's a giant, nearly 60%, 57.14%. And then, you know, I'm not saying that anybody's going to have any bias here or anything, but then we're on to most popular WordPress SEO plugin. And here we go.
Yeah.
We haven't even got an unidentified here. It's just, look, good grief, Taco. The heck?
Well, I know the plugin that's currently leading this.
Do you? You've heard of them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's pretty, gosh, that graph must make you feel pretty good.
But in line with what Aaron Jorbin said, is clicking that button and feeling responsible for updating so many sites. Uh-huh. That's definitely true for us as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take Yoast out and just see what that actually looks like. So if we take that out, but obviously you can put it back in, you can see that Yoast is, what are we looking at? I can't even guess what that would be. Something along the lines of 80% of this chart, something like that. Take it out, and then you got Rank Math, followed by All-in-One SEO, followed by the SEO framework, and then Slim.
There is something to notice, and that is that the data for All-in-One is incorrect.
Oh, is it? Go on.
Yes, because it is. There was a name change in All-in-One SEO back from All-in-One SEO pack to All-in-One SEO.
Yeah.
No, it's currently tracking the old name.
Okay.
Which will be updated in the tracker. So we should see more reliable data in one of the upcoming versions of this.
Okay. That's good to know.
So
thank you.
All-in-One is much bigger than it seems to be here.
In that one. All right. That's good to know. And then we see the chart, which is just the SEO plugins over time. We could probably spend hours dissecting all this data, and I love it. It's fascinating, but we're now nearly coming up to like 3:15, so we've got 20 minutes to go roughly, so we'll move on. Anyway, that is called CMS Market Share. I will link to it in the show notes for tomorrow, but go to Yoast, which is Yoast.blog, and you can find all of the three articles. It was the 2nd of July all of this data was released, and thank you to Yoast for, you know, taking the time and the trouble for collating all of that wonderful stuff for us. Okay. Very quickly then, there's not a lot to say here other than WordCamp Asia is obviously coming around. It is going to be held in 2025. 2024 has obviously passed, and they are now on the lookout for speakers, for lightning talks. Long talks are 40 minutes. Joint talks also are 40 minutes, but that's with, you know, a shared speaker, so two speakers. Panel discussions like fireside chats, 60 minutes Q&As, and then finally workshops where you rather than talk to the audience, you sort of show them things and work with them, and they're 90 minutes to half a day. Gosh, half a day. Wow. Oh, you have to be so well prepared for that. Asia.wordcamp.org if you're interested in speaking over there.
Do you know if they're looking for speakers from Asia, or
that's interesting,
are they targeting the rest of the world as well?
Yeah, I didn't see. Do you know what? I read this, like I said, it was on Saturday, and I didn't see that. It's your chance to share. No. You passionate. So here we go. What we're looking for. Are you passionate? Insights to share. Looking for speakers, both full length. No, they don't make that claim here. No. So there doesn't seem to be any caveat on that. So
then everyone should just apply.
Yeah, everybody, go apply. Okay, great. Thank you. I've actually forgotten the location. Where is it?
In Manila, Philippines.
Manila.
Yeah.
Nice. Manila, the Philippines. And this is a similar sort of thing, I guess. WordCamp Europe has just closed its doors not that long ago, a few weeks ago. And already WordCamp Europe has got all of the videos from all of the presentations. I remember the day when WordCamps had finished and you'd wait like, I don't know.
6 months.
Like 6 months, right? But Taco has an opinion why. It's so rapid.
Well, in I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid that the team doing this for WordPress TV is similar size as in previous years. But we do see a lot less events happening. So there might be less data to process, which with the same number of people means it goes faster.
Yeah.
But I hope I'm wrong.
No, I think you might be right. And segue, I've never done that before and I won't be doing it again. I apologize for my slight singing of the word segue there. Nobody wants to hear that. We'll come to this article in a moment because I've just had a revelation. Reactivating inactive meetup groups. We'll come to that in a moment. But it's just occurred to me with this, Taco, also, I wonder if the software's got better. I wonder if the software that you can drop things like that into and it'll just do the stuff and it'll do the transcription and you don't have to wait for a human to listen to it and type it all out. You can basically get AI to do it and then, you know, tweak it and make sure it's 100% correct. I wonder if that plays into it a bit as well.
I've sat at the WordPress TV table at a contributor day once a couple of years ago. And I do know that there's an awful lot of work going into reviewing all those videos and there's a lot of manual work. I don't know if they've been able to partially automate things, but I do know that that team is not getting the attention they deserve for all the work they put in.
Yeah, and honestly, trust me, I do a lot of video editing work. It can be sometimes reasonably mind-numbing.
It's laborious.
Yeah, it's fairly laborious. Yeah, you know, right? You know. So Lawrence is asking the same question. Does anybody know what the selection criteria is? So we're back to WordCamp Asia. No, but he says he's also going to write up about it because he has the stats for 24. And he says 27% of the WordCamp Asia speakers, so I'm guessing this is last year in Taiwan, or this year rather, in Taiwan, 27% were not from Asia. And then he says the opposite. 27% of WordCamp Asia speakers were from Asia. So I don't quite know. Yeah. I wondered if there was a typo.
He corrected himself.
Yeah, oh, he's correcting himself. Right, thank you. Yeah, good. Yeah. Okay, so we're saying 27%. Oh, that's interesting. That's much lower than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, what I heard before is that whereas WordCamp Europe, for example, is trying to showcase the best Europe has to bring, Asia was aiming to bring the talks from the rest of the world so that the people from Asia who typically have a harder time traveling to Europe or to the US can also get access to the same content. So I know that was true for 2024.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. And Lawrence just saying the second one. Yeah. Okay. So 27% were from Asia. That's interesting. And Cameron says he's still waiting for his talk for WordCamp Sunshine Coast. I should have said before I laughed, from 2016. So, well, you know, Cameron, it's only 8 years.
You can help the team out.
Yeah,
it's good. It's all open, all the make teams. You can just join them and get the work done.
Yeah, so there we go. So, Cameron, no, you know, that was, yeah. Taco said it, not me. All right. take it out with Taco. But anyway, segue. Oh, no, I did it again. here we are, reactivating inactive meetup groups. So Devin Maithstree, I so apologize to everybody whose name I butcher on this show, is touching on this exact point that Taco just raised about, you know, has the community sort of gone away so it's easier to edit stuff because there's less stock to edit. Our upcoming project aims at revitalizing inactive meetup groups within our community. With over 762 WordPress meetup groups spanning 108 countries, gosh, these numbers, and hosting nearly 537,000 members, count them, actually don't, we'll be here all day, we recognize the importance of active engagement across our global network. Starting the 1st of July, so just a week ago, they're going to embark on a focused one-month initiative to breathe new life into our meetup groups. Project comes in response to recent data revealing that nearly half of our groups are currently inactive. So anyway, the idea of this is to just bring them back to life. If you're interested, you can see the name of the article there, Reactivating Inactive Meetup Groups. If you're in a part of the world that is lacking, you've now got a focus. There are things afoot if you want to join in that community and bring it back to life. So yeah, get involved. It's all on the make.wordpress.org and it'll be in the show notes. Anything on that, or should we quickly move on? Because time really is pressing now.
Yeah. So the tab that you're currently hovering, this is not the first time that we're trying to reactivate meetup groups.
Yeah. Okay.
So I hope that it will be more successful now, because the last time was just after COVID, when we saw that people were still hesitant to come together. And I hope that's changed by now. But it's not the first time that we've tried to reactivate those meetup groups. So if you're in a location that doesn't have an active meetup, please stand up and get some people together and start organizing again.
Oh, nice. Call to action there. So yeah, it's not the first time. We can see an article here. You probably maybe can't see it on the screen, but it's September 29th in the year 2022. So, you know, like a full 2 years ago, nearly the idea mooted at a different time. Okay, let's move on. And I just want to quickly mention, Birgit was on the show, was it last week, a couple of weeks ago? Very recently, anyway, Birgit Olsen. And she has written a post just the other day called Addressing Overlapping Initiatives, Improving Collaboration Across Teams. This I will read. An in-person meeting during WordCamp Europe was convened to address the overlapping initiatives among various WordCamp contributor groups and explore ways to enhance collaboration and streamline efforts. The primary goal was to avoid duplication of work and ensure that all teams were aligned and work efficiently towards shared objectives. So I'm presuming born out of frustration of people just basically duplicating work within teams that didn't need to be. So if you are in a team and you feel that you have duplicated work that somebody else already did, there is now a place to go to help that initiative. And Birgit has the post. And there it is. Addressing overlapping initiatives, improving collaboration across teams. Anything on that? We're really short of time.
Now, when she says that, does she mean like people doing different, trying different things or something? Like, I'm a little worried about the wording of it, because when I hear it without the context, it sounds to me like they would rather have everybody working on like specific different APIs or specific different solutions instead of competing with each other for ways to solve that.
I'll just raise this bit. So again, I'm quoting from the article. The attendees recognize significant. So the attendees are listed here. There was a small cohort of people who, of which Patricia, sure, who's in the comments, and Courtney. We got them all.
Thank you, Courtney.
That's nice. They said the following, and I can't scroll. My wheel has decided to jam up. There we go. The attendees, so those people, recognize significant overlaps in their projects, especially concerning contributor onboarding and sustainability. Excuse me. Discussions highlighted the need for better coordination and communication among teams. There was consensus on the value of a regular cross-team check-ins and hangouts to share current projects and focus. Several challenges were identified, including the perception of the sustainability team. Basically, everybody just thinks the environment, whereas it's not just the environment. It's, you know, the events being sustainable and all sorts of other things. So I think it's a bit more that. I think it's a bit more that the work within those teams is just being duplicated somewhat needlessly. So, yeah. Right. Sorry. I feel like I'm rushing everybody now. I do apologize. We have an event and it's called Stellar Spark. And the schedule is up. And look at these. Have you ever seen little icons like this, which are so like interesting, right? Like the palette that they've gone for. Normally it's like bright, whereas they've gone for kind of dark, and my eye was drawn to it immediately. And the event is going to be taking place really soon, 11 days. So it's a free online event, 19th of July, 2024. You can obviously register with this button. And we scroll down, we got Josepha, we got Tammy, she's in the comments. We got Nestor, we've got Alex and Carolyn. I think these are both Yoasters.
Yep.
Zava. And then if we keep scrolling, this chap with sunglasses on, he's...
Hey, that's me.
That's you. Check it out. You're going to be talking about creating an affiliate program.
Affiliate programs and partnerships. That's basically all I talk about right now.
Yeah. Right. That's good. Anyway, there it is. Spark, Stellar Spark. You can go and check out the schedule. Links in the show notes. One other event quickly online. This is the 18th. Do they overlap?
The day before.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Thank goodness for that.
2 days in a row.
2 days in a row. So this one is the day before. And this is Human Made joining forces with WP Campus and a virtual event actually sponsored by Yoast. Look at that. Discover Enterprise WordPress on a university budget, and WP Campus specialize in higher ed WordPress installations and things like that. So if that's your bag, then you've got something to attend. Anything on either of those two events before I move on?
Definitely go check out my colleagues' talks.
Nice. You're all over the place. Look, you're sponsoring this one and you've got two people in the other one.
Yeah, well, goodness, and Carolyn speaking here as well.
I didn't get down to that, did I? Yeah, okay. So you're really all over it. That's even better. And then a couple of bits before we finish off, and I will try to give you a bit of time, Alex, to explain about Siren. I apologize, it never got added. Okay. This came via Taco. What's this?
Well, it's something that I'm quite proud of. There's an event called the Global Search Awards. It's happening annually. And this year we decided to enter that competition with Yoast SEO in the category Best Global Search Software Tool. And I'm super happy to say that we've been shortlisted, so basically nominated for a win in that category. So that is a real big acknowledgement of the things that we've been doing in the past 12 months, because that's what they're looking at. So we submitted Yoast SEO with the focus on the AI-generated descriptions and titles. And we made it to the final few for this category. So I'm super happy about it.
Nice. When do you find out if you have bagged an award?
So on September 19th,
okay.
So during WordCamp US.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you might have
that's
something
fine.
To it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some poppers going off in the party. Yeah, no kidding. Going off in the in the sponsor booth. That is nice. That's on LinkedIn. So I will try to link to that. I don't know how successful I'll be in my newsletter, which goes out with this, but thank you for that. And I just wanted to point this out. I doubt anybody is going to want to use it, but I just thought it was interesting. It's called Ladybird. It's a new, not new browser. I'd never heard of it before, but it's an open browser developed from the ground up. They say from scratch using open source. It's open source and it's based upon web standards, which I thought was interesting. I doubt that it's particularly useful. You know, it's not going to rival the likes of Firefox or Chrome or anything like that quite yet. But
a couple of remixes like that. I mean, even if they don't become the big thing, some innovations they come up with can influence the web entirely. I mean, we saw that with Firefox years ago.
Yeah, and have you seen this one called Arc? ARC?
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of cool stuff.
A lot of everybody seems to be going on about Arc and using Arc when I watch like screencasts and things like that.
Yeah.
And then this is just apropos of nothing, really. This is just Google. So it's a search engine thing, not particularly about WordPress. But Google is saying that its search results are going to try and get people who put content into Google, if you know what I mean. They want it. Well, I'll just read it. It'll be a lot easier. Google said on Monday it would simplify the way advertisers disclose election ads that use digitally altered content to depict real or realistic looking people or events in its latest battle to tackle disinformation. The update to the disclosure requires, under the political content policy, requires marketers to select a checkbox in the altered or synthetic content select section of their campaign settings. So if you're submitting ads to Google, obviously around the, you know, the politics season, I think everybody's a bit mindful that it's easy these days to make, make any politician say or do anything, sometimes for nefarious reasons. Google is going to request that you tick a box, which, of course, all these people are just going to tick that box, aren't they? And just be really honest about it.
Yeah, right. That was the first thing I thought was you can count on them to check that.
Okay, that's the content that I've got. I'm just going to give Alex a couple of minutes. I know that right at the end you said, have you got a moment to talk about Siren Affiliates? Is there anything you want to say? I can put the website on the screen if you like.
Oh yeah, sure. I've been working on Siren, but the big affiliates, which is an affiliate plugin for WordPress that lets you manage multiple programs at one time, and it's got a couple of different really interesting ways that it allows me to approach not just affiliate programs, but partnerships in general. So the big thing that I really wanted to talk about here was I actually just launched a podcast that I started doing because I realized Siren, the software, it's more than just an affiliate program. It's a plugin. It's like an entire way of thinking on running a business, an entire way of approaching business in general, and work whenever you're working with other people. And I wanted to explore the different ways those kind of things can be done, and different ways that our community especially hasn't really been utilizing as well as they should be for all of the collaborative efforts that we do in our space. There's just so many opportunities where we could work together better. So I built this software to help with a lot of those things, but I also started doing a lot of educational resources and a podcast called Partnership.
So clever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was really excited. So I've been talking a lot about, not just affiliate programs or what makes a good one, a good affiliate program or anything like that, but how to sell expensive things, for example, which is that talk I'm doing at Stellar, right? How to sell expensive things using Siren, how WordPress agencies, for example, can create and actually sell their services with partnership programs, how you can create a multi-course platform using WordPress, Lifter or LearnDash or whatever, plus Siren to be able to basically create a Udemy clone with WordPress. So there's just all kinds of different ways that it's approaching partnership programs and incentivizing pay for performance type things. And I realized I could do a whole podcast just different ways to approach that. So
yeah, it's called Partnership.
It's called Partnership.
Yeah.
There you go. I was so excited. I went and scooped up partnership.fm and I was like, yeah, it was there. This is mine now.
Yeah, there was that shouldn't have been allowed. That should have been taken.
I was so excited.
Not anything.
Exactly.
Yeah,
couldn't believe it.
You did well there. So there we go. So sirenaffiliates.com. Mm-hmm. You can go and check it out. That is Alex's current project that he's working on, and it's a hot take on affiliate programs. It does a whole load more than you'd imagine. So go and check it out, sirenaffiliates.com. Let's just round off with a couple of comments. Courtney Robertson, I think we're back onto the story about the overlapping initiatives. I commented on Julia's post. I think it had helped to have several clearly defined reasons why to seek new attendees, contribution, market growth,
I think this
et
was on the...
That was on the events, bringing events back. Thank you for
revitalizing.
That. Yeah, that's the right word. And then she goes on, Alex, the proposal is to move... Was there a comment by Alex somewhere?
It was just me asking for clarification.
Yeah, okay. You were just asking that loud. The proposal is to move the DEIB working group mentorship officially into the sustainability team. Some conversations we had about them naming the team, I commented about this. And then second to last, penultimate comment, it's mostly about overlapping between DEIB IB groups, sustainability, the Five for the Future, and contributor onboarding. Okay, so it's got a much more narrow focus than we thought. And then finally, Mr. Lacey.
Yay! The traitor show.
I'm not saying it. I am saying it. The traitor. He's back. Paul Lacey's fine. He's made a return visit, but he's left only 1 minute. That's great. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. And especially in this episode, it's funny because Marcus is on a plane following our entire show, and he's on a bus.
He's on a bus. No excuses. That's hysterical. Yeah, Paul, when you finally get to it, right at the beginning of the show, Marcus Burnett is on a plane. he's on a plane watching it, and your comment was, "Hello, everyone. Sorry, I'm late. I missed the bus." That's great. I love Paul Lacey. He's absolutely fabulous. We say it in jest. Everybody knows I'm not serious about it. Okay, that's it. That's all I've got for you this week. All it remains for me to do is to say, segue again. No, is to
Although it is funny.
I'm making you a transition.
Yeah, it is funny though because this is episode 301.
Yeah.
Which is the redirect.
Oh,
segue.
Oh,
there's a joke in there somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Okay. There's got to be something about 301.
He's writing segues. It down right now.
Yeah. I'm going to write it down. They've got to have the show title. That's brilliant. Love you too. Great show. Thank you. Says Paul Lacey. And Courtney saying she's tuning in by train. There you go.
Who is? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, who is? Oh, okay. I got it. Right. That's it. So that's it. As no more segues, no more silliness. I just want to thank Taco for joining us. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having me.
I want to thank Rob Cairns Thanks. For joining us. Thank you very much. And I want to thank, where's he gone?
Oh, dang it. I did it wrong.
So isn't you? You'll never, ever, ever, ever get that right.
It depends on the software because some of them mirror and some of them don't.
No, it's like when you put the USB, the old USB thing in, you get it wrong every single time. And then you turn it over. And then you realize you actually got it right first time and you have to go back. So it always takes three goes, doesn't it? But that's all we got. Thank you for joining us. It makes the whole thing better when you comment, and many of you did. And I really appreciate that. And
we do have to do one more thing.
We do. We've got one more thing to do. And that is to do the hand wave every week, Alex. We do the hand wave. And
we do the hand wave?
We know. We just keep them there. That's all I got. That's it. That's all I need. So we'll be back next week for episode number 302. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time. And we'll see you soon. Take it easy.